Facebook and Cambridge Analytica for deceptive practices for violating millions of people's privacy. The allegations are that Facebook committed fraud and deceptive practices in mining personal information from Facebook users without their knowledge or consent. And here to talk about the case and what the issues this raises is Juan Carlos Bosacoma, the founder and CEO of CIO Landing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here, Karen.
So, JC, I'm going to call you JC. You've had 30 years of IT experience, and you're affectionately known as the Geek's Geek, and I'm actually looking at your best-selling Amazon book, Sitting Duck, Why Your Business is a Cyber Criminal's Ideal Target. And I'm going to be giving away a copy of that in a little bit. So let's talk about this issue. So Facebook has all this information, and Cambridge Analytica got it. How did this happen, to your knowledge?
So what happened was Cambridge Analytica was given access to a set, or actually a person that worked for them, access to data for research purposes. And this data was downloaded, and through tools that Facebook uses, they were able to query that information and find information about the individual's friends who they were associated. So there were something like 270,000 people, and each person has friends. So they were able to tap into those friends, and that number came up to 50 million.
Wow. So, you know, obviously people are on Facebook. There's all kinds of information. You're going to have your profile information, your age approximately, your education. But what other kinds of information are they mining when you expose Facebook information?
So when you sign typically to Facebook, you're going to be revealing personal information, like whether you're single or married, and if you have children, and where you live, and what race you are, and different types of information that reveal about your personality, then this information becomes available to folks like Cambridge Analytica, where they know your profile. Now, one of the things that they claim to have done as well is by letting some people use a tool reveals some psychographic information, meaning they'll find out the type of personality that you have. So what they were trying to do was understand more about who the people were. As it turns out, that information didn't pan out as well as they wanted, but they got hold of that data in their servers.
I mean, I guess I talked a little bit about this on the Cochrane Show. We're always having our information mined to some extent. I mean, when we go into the grocery store and we use our card and we get the receipt and it comes back with coupons for things that I've bought in the past, obviously they know my buying history because I've consented to let them do that by having the card. That's part of what they're doing to try to sell me more stuff.
But that's correct.
But we don't think about that when we're on Facebook, that someone is out there getting information that can be used, what, politically? That's, I think, Cambridge Analytica is about politics and trying to understand what my politics are in order to influence me. And that's the part of it that's offensive.
Right. Now, what's interesting is that at the end, the analysis that many folks have done on them is that they were not able to do the type of influencing that they claimed to do. In fact, they were portraying this magic they could do, and turns out they weren't able to deliver on their what they said they were going to do. The thing that's problematic is that they were able to access other people's information without us knowing. So they got hold of that information. And the other piece, I think, from Facebook is they were loose in terms of their restraints about what others can do with the data. And that's something that I think as a young company, they probably didn't think too deep into it.
Sure. And so they're going to all be changing their attitude toward this and changing the whole way they do things, I can imagine. Let's just talk briefly, and we don't have a lot of time, but I want to talk about passwords. I have like 100 passwords, and How should people manage their passwords? Where should they be kept? And what kinds of passwords are passwords we should not use?
So, to your point, one of the most important things in securing your data is to have strong, what they call strong passwords. So we think of a strong password as being a combination of uppercase, lowercase, number, and special character, and it'd be long. And preferably a phrase. So it could be the name of your favorite song. And the idea is that your password should be unique for every single application. Then you say, oh my gosh, how am I going
to
do that?
How are you going to remember it, right?
How am I going to do that?
There's nothing more frustrating than getting on and you're trying to buy something and you've got PayPal and you have your eBay account and you've got all these passwords and you don't know where they are. And I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well,
I think most people react by doing an easy password.
Exactly. And that is the way hackers get to you. It's an easy password, guessable, and then I can take your account. So one way to do is to use an application that lets you store your password and your username, and there's a master password that controls all of them. It's like a vault, an electronic vault. So that way you can protect all your passwords and allows you to have individual passwords for every application. So
are you telling me, so then you get this application, you figure out a simple password, but that password then is tied to other passwords that you can use for all different venues?
It won't be really a simple password, but it'll be a password you could understand, something that could be the name of your favorite song or something that, a phrase that could be, I like to walk Michigan Avenue in a summer day, and
okay,
something you would remember, but it would be very hard to guess. And then from there, the application will create complex passwords that are going to be almost impossible for anyone to guess.
Well, that sounds like something we should all do. Is it safe to buy things online? I think just from a bottom line standpoint, every time I go on to buy something, and now everything, Amazon, whatever, is it safe, or what can we do to be safe other than this password issue that we've already talked about?
Well, it is safe if it's a reputable organization that you're buying from, say an Amazon or a Macy's or one of those, or eBay. Now, there are other questionable websites, and typically you can find out if it is a reputable website by looking at the line where the name of the organization is. On the left side, typically shows a little key, and that key will turn green depending on what kind of computer that you use, or will have some kind of question mark. So it identifies whether it's a safe place to buy from. So you should always pay attention to that.
What should I not open? I see something come up on my screen.
So one of the things you should never open is something that says you have an infection on your computer, call this number. And that happens. Don't ever do that. Or sometimes they'll say, hey, we're scanning your computer for a password. Click here to do an update. And it's something that you've never seen before. That's a telltale sign. Or if you get an email with a link saying, click here to update your password, and you don't know where it's coming from. Very dangerous.
But you usually get updates from your program. So how do you know what's real and how do you know what's not real?
So the one thing you got to make sure is that you have an antivirus that is up to date. You always have to make sure that is current. The other thing you should make sure is that your operating system, whether you're using Windows or a Mac or it's your phone, that you're up to date on updates, because that makes sure that you have the best protection that can be known, that's known at this point in time.
Quickly, this is just a personal curiosity, but these people who put viruses into the community, why do they do it? What benefit do they get?
It's very simple. It's a business. They happen to be on the wrong side of what we like to know as a business. Once they get hold of your information, that can be sold in the dark web. So, for example, a social security number is very valuable because I can sell it. And with that, I can open accounts and I can do nefarious things of that nature.
Can you just tell us briefly what CIO does?
Sure. We are a company that is used by small and mid-sized companies, and we become the outsource IT department. So we help companies solve their technology headaches, and we help them be more productive. The idea is that we remove the technology decision making from the business owner, so we take on that role.
And it keeps, you know, it just seems to me that that's good for people who are business people who don't want to be dealing with IT. And when you have a problem, you have someone to call, which makes sense. So that sounds like a great business to be in.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I am going to give away a copy of your book, Sitting Duck, Why Your Business is a Cyber Criminal's Ideal Target. Thank you, Juan Carlos Basacoma, for coming in.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having me here.